service. We're going to begin this morning with our first hymn, hymn number 609.
Forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in this stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
My eyes are ever towards the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net.
One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple.
For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock.
And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices and shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
My eyes are ever towards the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net.
Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
And let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, your mercies are new every morning, and though we deserve only punishment, you receive us as your children and provide for all of our needs of body and soul. Grant that we may heartily acknowledge your merciful goodness, give thanks for all your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
And please be seated.
Our Old Testament reading comes from Isaiah. Chapter 42. For a long time I have held my peace. I have kept still and restrained myself. Now I will cry out like a woman in labor. I will gasp and pant. I will lay waste mountains and hills and dry up all their vegetation. I will turn the rivers into islands and dry up the pools. And I will lead the blind in a way that they do not know, in paths that they have not known, and I will guide them. I will turn the darkness before them into light, the rough places into level ground. These are the things I do, and I do not forsake them. They are turned back and utterly put to shame. Who trust in carved idols? Who say to metal images, "You are gods." Hear, you deaf, and look, you blind, that you may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger whom I send? Who is blind as my dedicated one, or blind as the servant of the Lord? He sees many things, but does not observe them. His ears are open, but he does not hear. The Lord was pleased for his righteousness' sake to magnify his law and make it glorious. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson comes from Ephesians chapter 5. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. John, the 9th chapter. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam." So he went and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is he." Others said, "No, but he is like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." So they said to him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees a man who had been formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees asked again how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him since he has opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But how he now sees, we do not know, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said these things because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples?" And they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born in utter sin, and you would teach us?" And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, Do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered, And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? Jesus said to him, You have seen him. It is he who is speaking to you. He said, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him. Jesus said, For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may become blind. Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, Are we also blind? Jesus said to them, If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say we see, your guilt remains. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
And we confess our faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
And please be seated, and we continue with verses 1 and 7 of hymn 420. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was the rather long gospel lesson that we're going to try to unpack to understand the lessons that we can gain from it. It's more than a story than just about a man that was born blind. And it also emphasizes the idea that there's more to seeing than just eyesight. To set the stage for the gospel lesson, we got to go back to Chapter 8. Jesus had just celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles, and he said to the people, he was arguing with the Pharisees, like, you know, he does that quite often, arguing about who he was, and Jesus uses the expression, I am. Now, I am is the name back in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, that God said, Tell them that I am sent you. So he had used God's name to define himself. At that point, the Pharisees want to stone him in the temple, which says something in and of itself that they would be willing to kill somebody in the temple area. But Jesus leaves the temple. If you want to summarize our gospel lesson, you go back to the Old Testament lesson from Isaiah. They see and do not perceive. They hear and do not understand. In this context, sight and knowledge are connected. They see this man born blind, and the disciples want to know who sinned. Did he sin, or did his parents sin? See, they connected the sin and the blindness, that a sin had caused the blindness. It doesn't work that way. All right? Yes, there is sin in this world, and that is why we have diseases and various ailments, because there's sin in the world. But just because you sin does not necessarily mean there is a direct connection. Because you sin, that doesn't mean there's necessarily a direct connection to a physical problem that you have. Jesus explains this man was born blind for the purposes of God's work might be made manifested or brought to light in him. That passage kind of challenges us. This man, who was an adult, all right, had been born blind, who had been begging, that God had allowed this to happen and allowed it to continue so long so that God could use it for his own purpose. Does that make sense from our own human perspective why God would do something like that to this man? Not at all. And you know what? That's because we don't have the same mindset as God. God works differently than we do. And it's okay in this sense. We don't have to understand why it happened. Jesus uses, by the way, a very strong expression when he says that we must work. So the first part of the gospel lesson, that we must do this work. It would be the equivalent of, if I wrote it out, I would put in capital letters, bold, and underline it if I was putting it in a message to you. All right? The must is the term that is used usually only of divine action. So you know what he's saying is, the Trinity here needs to do something. He's calling upon divine action. He says, we must work the work of the one who sent me. Wow. Christ again is acknowledging or is publicly stating that he is God. Talks also that our work must be done in the light. Same thing with Christians now. We do our work in the light of Christ. We have to do these things. Now, Jesus had healed many blind people up until this point, but there's something very different about this one. This one, he spits on the ground, makes mud, and puts it on the eye. Obviously, they didn't have a virus at that time. Okay, that was cute. All right, so they place it on his eye. Now, I did find out that there's some obscure Jewish writing from a couple centuries before Christ that said that even the saliva of the Messiah will be able to heal people. So I don't know if this is why he did it. It's just kind of interesting that Jesus even fulfills an obscure prophecy about him. And then he sends a man to the pool at Siloam. And Siloam itself means sent, which is kind of interesting. The pool of the sent. This man who is about to receive his sight, he doesn't receive it till he gets to the pool, all right, had to go where he was sent. Do you realize when he washed that mud off and got his eyesight back, he had never seen before? Can you imagine how overwhelmed he was? Never having seen anything, then all of a sudden everything is there. I heard a story a few years ago that a man had lost his sight when he was just days old, had suffered a head injury and lost his sight. And as an adult, he was walking in the mall and he ran right into a pillar. All right. Hit his head really hard against the pillar and his eyesight came back. They had to sedate him because he was terrified of everything that he was seeing around him. What a wonderful miracle. This man doesn't freak out and just lose it. I could say that this gospel lesson has several different acts or part. If we move on to the next act, then the neighbors who knew he had been born blind see him. And it says they were all astonished. I like how they try to explain it. Well, that can't be him. It just looks like him. And he goes, no, it really is me. Now, here's a question the good Jews would probably have asked. Jesus, who just restored the sight to the blind, the only one who does that in the Bible is Christ. Not the great prophets of the Old Testament like Elijah or Elisha. They never restored sight to the blind. So does that mean then, in their thinking, is Jesus greater than the Old Testament prophets? Back in chapter 8, when I was setting the stage, they'd also accused Jesus, after he'd done these healings and the casting out of demons, that he must be Beelzebub, Satan himself. And Jesus says, why would Satan cast out Satan? So if Jesus isn't doing all these healings by the miracle or the power of Satan, then he's doing it by the power of God. So that says he is somebody. And the reason I bring that up is this blind man starts to have a growing understanding of who Jesus is. The neighbors, of course, want to know what happened. I love the question, where is Jesus? Would he have seen where he went? I'm sorry, I think that's kind of a silly question. Where is he? Sure, he's that guy standing over there I recognize. Anyway, I don't know what makes me think of these things while I'm writing these sermons. All right. The next act, they take him to the Pharisees. So certainly the Pharisees are going to have the religious answer to how this could be. And our gospel lesson makes specific note that it took place on the Sabbath. And what are the Pharisees most upset about? He did work on the Sabbath, therefore he cannot be from God. Not a great miracle has taken place. This man who was born blind can now see. No, what are they worried about? He spat on the ground and put it on his eyes, and that constituted work. Now, here's the kicker in the story. The Pharisees passed judgment, which was considered work. So weren't they just as guilty? See, even in the Bible, people are not consistent. They can notice the splinter in somebody else's eye, but ignore the log in their own. And the Pharisees had a habit of disregarding love or mercy when it came to acts on the Sabbath. So the Pharisees ask the man, what has happened? Well, first of all, they don't believe that Jesus can be from of God because he worked on the Sabbath. And then others started arguing that a sinner could not possibly do these things. So while they're questioning the man, the Pharisees are arguing amongst themselves. So finally they ask the man himself, what do you have to say about him? You know what? Sooner or later, everybody's going to answer that question. Who do you say that Jesus is? Now moving on to the next act in this rather long story. Pharisees could not believe that this man had actually been born blind. So what do? You go talk to the parents. Is this your son? Yes. Was he born blind? Yes, I think we were there. Anyway, parents notice it actually says in there, don't want to say a whole lot. Because they don't want to risk being kicked out of the synagogue. So instead they pass the buck. He is of age, ask him. In other words, I don't want to answer this question. Make the boy do it. I don't care how old he is, he's still a boy. You know what's that with your kids? No matter how old they get, they're still a boy and a girl. It just works that way. All right, anyway, so ask the boy what happened. And then they ask this man, who had formerly been born blind, basically to swear an oath to God that he's going to tell the truth. All right? Thinking in their minds that he must have been faking blindness, and then the parents kind of contradicted that one, and then they don't want to actually believe that this is true. But this man who was formerly blind makes a definitive statement of a definitive statement about who Jesus is. And the Pharisees go wild. He's not a trained theologian like they are. They're saying, and this man is saying that Jesus is more than just a prophet. As I said early on in this message, that part of the story here is this man has a growing understanding of who Jesus is. Very much as our faith grows, we get a growing knowledge of who Jesus is. And I love what this man then says. I've told you already, you didn't listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Then this man starts mocking the Pharisees. Certainly you are not wanting to become his disciples, are you? Oh, well, see, this guy's finally had enough of this. The Pharisees respond, and how sad. You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. This man's understanding of who Jesus is growing. He adds, we know that God does not listen to sinners. Rather, it is the one who is devout and does his will. It's never been heard that anyone ever opened the eyes of one born blind. If this man wasn't from God, this could not have happened to me. And then they throw him out of the synagogue. The next and final act is Jesus goes looking for this man again. Because this man doesn't fully see. Physically, he can see. He has a growing sight of who Jesus is, but he doesn't fully understand it. All right? It's kind of like you go back to the parable of the 10 lepers, when Jesus healed the 10 lepers and sent them to show themselves to the priest, and only one came back. Only one really understood who Jesus was. And I said early on, there's more to seeing than just eyesight. And Jesus asked the question very bluntly, do you believe in the Son of Man? And the man wants to know who it is, and Jesus says, basically he says, I stand before you. And the man falls down and worships Jesus. He was blind, but now he sees. Jesus tells the crowd that he'd come into the world to bring into the light judgment, and the ones who could not see would see. Then he adds that he came to blind the seeing, or at least those who thought they could see. The Pharisees, at the end of this, are concerned that Jesus is saying that they're blind. They can't see who they are or see who he is. And Jesus says, yeah, you are. You're blind. And because you claim you can see, in other words, because you claim that you understand it all and you don't, and that you're not repentant of it, they're stuck in their sins. Do we ever get blinded to who Jesus is? Well, sometimes we get blinded by distractions, traditions, or we use human reason. Can we really understand by human reason how Jesus did everything that he did? Nope. Faith is believing in what you cannot see. Isn't that kind of amazing how faith is defined, but that's what our gospel lesson is about seeing. John writes at the end of his gospel that these things are written so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you might have eternal life. You know, this man who had been born blind, first, quote, saw by touching with his hands, then with his eyes, and then finally with the sight of faith. We need to see Christ with the sight of faith. That's the vision we all need. So may the peace of God, which is above all our human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen. And as you probably noticed, the offering plate is in the back. We're just changing things due to circumstances. But remember, that's to continue the work of the Lord. So please rise.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Amen.
Blessed Lord, you give sight to the blind, you open the ears of the deaf, and you make the lame to walk. Hear the prayers of your people on behalf of all people as they have needs. In the darkness of sin and its death, we cry to you, O Lord. Open our ears by your word, our minds by your spirit, and our hearts by your grace, that we may know and be thankful for all the blessings you have given to us in Christ our Lord, especially the gift of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Strengthen us in faith that we may serve you with all our body, mind, and soul and strength. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Defended by your grace, we ask you, O Lord, to provide us with good and faithful leaders who will honor the cause of justice in our land, preserve the precious gift of liberty, and protect the lives of those least able to defend themselves. Bless the members of our armed forces and protect them as they defend us. And grant your blessing to all emergency workers who come to our aid in time of need. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Enjoying the riches of your grace, we ask you, O Lord, to give us generous hearts that we may share with the poor what you have provided and work for the common good of all. Be with those who are unemployed and in search of honest labor, for the underemployed in pursuit of better jobs, and the homeless seeking basic shelter for themselves and those in their families. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Knowing your healing will and gifts, we pray you, O Lord, to remember the sick and their afflictions, to calm those troubled in mind, and to keep steadfast the dying. This morning we especially pray for Sylvia Kessler, Judy Coy, Eleanor Connor, Dan Bonham, Alita Streitsova, Carol Yoder, Barb Miller, Joyce Thompson, Karen Muth, Kim Fouts, Susan Fouts, Rob Shastall, Betty Morgan, Steve Klotfelter and family, Kelly Swinton family, Gary Haddock, Jerry Miller, Christopher Springer, Lauren Hendricks, Charlie and Nan Jones, Bill Cummings, Ted Perkinson, Ben Hall, Debbie Houck. Show us your gracious will, O Lord, and sustain those afflicted in body or mind until that day when you will bestow upon us new bodies fit for eternal life that you have prepared for us in Christ. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Mindful of your promise, we ask you, O Lord, to comfort those who grieve and to build up those who mourn with the hope for the resurrection. Remembering the faithful who have died in Christ, we pray you to bring us at last to be with them in your nearing presence. Looking forward to that day when we shall join in the marriage supper of the Lamb and his kingdom without end. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
All these things, O Lord, we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, asking you to grant our prayers, not for our sake, but for the sake of him alone. Teach our hearts to be content with your will and to trust that your will answer us with what is best for us and at the right time for our need. So do we pray, giving testimony of our confidence in the gracious favor in Christ by answering with one voice,
Amen.
And we continue with the prayer he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with my spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated, and we continue with the first four verses of hymn 440. So next Sunday is kind of cool.
This Sunday should have been the pitching.
Okay. Next Sunday is pretty cool anyway because we have a baptism and adult confirmation. So this is great. I'm going to see how Harry and Ruby's going to work next week. It's okay, kid. I can yell louder. Yes, sweetheart. It's okay. All right. Anything else that needs to be announced? If not, I'll see you during the week.
Yeah.